year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. The psalm this morning is Psalm 138. We will read this together. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise, purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. The second lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. Here ends the reading.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I invite any children who are here to come forward for a message with me on the steps.
Yay.
Hello. That was. You know what this is?
We'll talk about it in a second. Oh, it is.
We'll talk about that in just a second, but right now,
I have a question.
Have any of you ever been fishing?
Yes, I did.
Who's been fishing? Show me. Show me, show me, show me.
Oh, great.
Yeah, me too, me too. What sort of things do you need? Oh, hi, guys. Have you been fishing before?
No.
No? That's okay.
I haven't been fishing.
You haven't? So what sort of things, if you were to go fishing, what sort of things would you need to go fishing?
You need nets.
You need
and
nets.
And a fishing rod.
And a fishing rod? What else might you need?
You need a...
What do you think?
A claw.
A claw?
Yeah.
Maybe. If you were a bear, you would go fishing with your claws, wouldn't you?
Yeah, bait.
You need bait?
Yeah, try this one.
Maybe you need some bait. What else might you need? Anything else? Do you need a boat, maybe?
We need a boat.
Yes, maybe you need a boat.
We need to.
You could stand on shore, I suppose, but maybe you need a boat. Well, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus is teaching crowds of people, and there's so many people there that he can't stay on shore anymore. There's just too many people. They can't all see him. So he gets this great idea, and he hops into this boat. And the boat goes out just a little ways so that, kind of like we are now, if you look out at everyone, you see how they can all see us here sitting down? It's like Jesus had to go a little bit further away so that everyone in the crowd could see. And then after he gets done preaching and teaching from this boat, he tells the boat owner, Simon Peter, he says, "Hey, let's go a little bit deeper, and I want you to put your nets into the water so that we can get some fish." And what does, do you guys remember what Simon says? What does he say? He says, "No, Jesus, we've been out all night long fishing, and we didn't catch anything." But, "Jesus, if you say that I should do this, I'll do it." So Jesus said, "Sure." And they drop the nets into the water, and then do they catch any fish? Yes. How many fish did they catch?
100.
Probably more than 100.
They caught
so many fish that the boats began to sink in the water. Two boats
They were so filled with fish, they began to sink. Can you imagine how many fish that would be?
A million.
So then, a hundred million. So seeing this happen, Simon Peter falls to his knees and he says, Jesus, I'm not worthy, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you are going to catch people.
What?
That's exactly what I wrote in my notes. Really, honestly, what? In capital letters. It's like you were reading this. Doesn't that sound strange? Catching people? Like what does Jesus mean? Does he mean catching people like this? Like, oh, gotcha. Reel them in. Is that what Jesus means?
No.
Catching people like this?
No.
No? What do we think Jesus means?
Bring
the people to who?
Bring to Jesus.
Bring the people to Jesus. And how do you suppose we do that? Like this?
Nicely.
Like this?
We have to ask them.
We ask them? Like how?
Ask nicely.
Like maybe we've got a friend at school or at
no,
work.
No.
Well, we only have my
friend at school.
Do we say like, so, you know, I go to church, you should come with me and see what it's all about. Yeah, we could do that, right? We could do that to tell people about Jesus, right?
Yeah, right.
Tell them what does the angels mean.
Yeah, we can tell them what the angels mean. We can tell them who God is, who Jesus is, right? Do you think that you guys could do that maybe with your friends?
They're gods.
Yeah. We probably could. We could go out and catch people. I think we could do that. Yeah, that's what Jesus calls us to do. Just like those first disciples that Jesus called, we are disciples too. And we've seen all the amazing things that Jesus can do. We have a whole book full of those stories of all the amazing things that God does. All right? So that's my challenge for you, Liam, is I want you to go out into the world and I want you to tell people about Jesus. Okay? That's for all of you, not just Liam. Okay? Okay. For all of you, not just these guys. Okay? Cool. Thanks for coming up. You guys can go take a seat. Thank you.
Please pray with me. To the great fisherman who has caught all of us in love, give us the courage to drop everything and follow you. Teach us to share your gospel with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I've always found it a little interesting when reading this passage that Jesus' first followers were fishermen. And so jokingly this week when Keith Cruz was in the office, I told him that I was going to figure out some way to tell all of you Californians about ice fishing. And so here it goes. Here's a picture of me as a child out on the lakes of Minnesota. I think I was like 5, but this is out on a lake. It's not just some, you know, snow-filled field. That's a lake. And as you can see, there's cars and trucks and little houses out on the lake. Fun fact, it has to be 12 to 15 inches thick before you can drive a truck onto the ice. That's like amazing, right? And there I am. I'm walking on the water, much like Jesus did. And I'm pulling behind my less faith-filled cousin in a sled so he doesn't sink like Peter did in that story about Jesus and Peter walking on the water. No, I digress. But that is ice fishing. So like I said, I find it extremely, extremely interesting that Jesus' first followers were fishermen. This morning, our gospel lesson isn't about ice fishermen in Minnesota, the frozen chosen, as we call ourselves. Our fishermen aren't ice fishermen, and it's not about Jesus walking on water either. I added that in to make a connection. Rather, our story is about first century fishermen and the call of Jesus' first followers as told in the Gospel of Luke. I find it extremely interesting that these men were fishermen. And don't get me wrong, I don't think in order to follow Jesus, we have to be fishermen. However, I wonder what it is about them. It's not because they are fishermen, but are there some qualities that fishermen have that translate into qualities we need to share the gospel? Jesus tells Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And as followers of Jesus, that is our call too. You might have heard it phrased differently this week in confirmation. Our confirmation students heard, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." You might have heard, "Now you'll be fishers of men." But the phrase this week is, "Go out, you're going to catch people." So what qualities do fishermen have that we can learn from to spread the gospel to the world? A good fisherman must have the right equipment, must have a love of fish, must be a faithful student to the art of fishing, and they've got to go out and fish. So we'll go through these and unpack each one and how it might relate to our spreading of the gospel. A good fisherman must have the right equipment. For fishermen, the equipment you need is determined by the fish you're looking to catch. Ice fishermen have different equipment than fly fishermen, than big sea fishermen and lake or river fishermen. You all need a little bit different equipment. However, in all forms of fishing, you don't want more equipment than you need. More is not necessarily more. So we're going to look at the bare bones of what you need, the equipment that you need in order to fish. You need an opportunity, a hook. You need a hook. You need a fisherman. You need yourself. And you need a rod or a pole or a net. That's going to be our gospel today. So the hook or the net. You need an opportunity with which to catch. When telling others about Jesus, you need to know a little bit about them first so that you can make a connection, so that you have an opportunity. You have your foot in the door in order to share. Our hook should be a building of a relationship with a person and then sharing the gospel with them. The next piece of equipment that you absolutely need in order to be a good fisherman is a fisherman or woman. You must be present when you share the gospel with others. Bring your whole self and the stories of your own faith and your own experience of God being present for you and faithful to you. And then in order to be a good fisherman and having the right equipment, you need a rod or a pole. Your rod is the gospel, inspired through you, through the Holy Spirit, to the other person. In fishing, the fishing pole is an extension of the fisherman. The shared gospel is an extension of you and your own experience of the gospel. That's the equipment you need in order to be a good catcher of people. Without the correct and essential equipment, you run the risk of not catching any fish or not sharing the gospel at all. The second thing, a good fisherman must have a love of fish. You've got to have the right equipment, and you've got to love God's people. I think it's hard to bring people you don't care about to the gospel. Just like if you get up early to go fishing and you sit in a boat only to catch weeds, right? Like that's not what you're there to do, right? Like that's not what it's all about. You gotta love the people. And this goes back to that relationship building, that community that you're inviting people into. Time after time, when I watch our stories at the beginning of worship, I hear people saying how much this place means to them because of the community of people they find here. Going as far as to say it's a family. Wouldn't you want to bring more people into that? And like Pastor Kate said last week in her sermon on love, love is not just a feeling, but it's an action. Jesus calls us to share the gospel and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those who fish with a pole use bait to attract a certain kind of fish and are only able to catch one fish at a time. But in our gospel lesson today, they used a net. They hauled in an abundance of fish, a variety of fish, the slimy, scaly, spiky ones, the delicious ones, the ones that are shiny and have beautiful colors. All of the fish are hauled in. When you fish with nets, you cannot pick and choose what you catch. You pull up everything. And that's the same in this community of faith. We invite all into this community, into relationship, not just because we're fond of each other, but because we are called, we are commanded in love to do this. Recognizing that each of us has specific gifts to bring to the body of Christ. Each one is called and welcomed and united into the body of Christ. So you need the essential equipment, you need a love of fish, of God's people, and a good fisherman must be a faithful student. So what do I mean? Well, I've never met a good fisherman who is not continually learning about where the perfect spot is to fish, or what time of day is perfect, and never have I ever met any fisherman, good or not, that is not praying for the big one, right? Never have I ever. So spending time in God's word and in prayer is required for this catching people, this kind of discipleship that we're called into. We're way less effective if we don't spend time in prayer and in the Word of God. We meet Jesus often in the Bible, off praying by himself. And we know from some of the stories that are in the Bible that Jesus knew his scriptures backwards, forwards, upside down. He knew it more deeply than anyone else. we are to learn that those are the ways in which we can learn and know more about God and rest in God's grace. We must spend time in prayer, praying for discernment, the right way to go, who we're going to tell. Prayer is a way of recharging, expressing our confusion, our doubts, and our fears, but also celebrating and giving thanks. Spending time in prayer and in God's word is spending time in our own relationship with God. How are we supposed to catch others into a life of discipleship, into a life in relationship with God, if we ourselves do not spend time in relationship with God? So to be a good fisherman, you need the right equipment. You gotta love God's people. And you've gotta be a faithful student. And lastly, what use is any of it if you don't go out and fish at all? A good fisherman's gotta keep casting. They're out there day after day, regardless of if they're catching fish or if they're pulling in weeds, right? Because they're praying for that big one. It looks kind of funny if someone is dressed up in their fishing vest and their galoshes and their waders and they've got a fishing pole and a net and someone comes up to them and they say, "Oh, do you like to fish? Are you going fishing?" And the person says, "No, I'm just wearing this stuff for me." Right? Do you spend all of your time in God's word and praying and here in this community with these people? And then when someone says, "Wow, you're so faithful," like, are you going to go out and share God's message with the world? And you say, "Oh, no, it's just for me." What? God has given each of you special gifts to go out and share God's message with the world. Keep casting, because we all know the joy of a catch, any catch, but especially the big ones. The joy of bringing a friend to Christ, the joy of inspiring our youth in their faith. After the joy of hauling in an abundance of fish, Simon Peter falls to his knees and says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Jesus' response is, "Don't be afraid." And if I can put some words in Jesus' mouth here, you have all that you need. You've got yourself. You've got the word of God. If you build a relationship with that person, you have all that you need to share the gospel. You are going to be catching people. He says that to Simon Peter. You who are sinful, you who fears you'll not have the right equipment, the right things to say, you who are human and find it difficult to love others, you who are not always faithful in God's word. Jesus calls you. Jesus says to you today, you are forgiven. So drop everything. Drop your worries. Drop your fears and follow me. I have the right equipment. I love you regardless of your faults. And I was faithful unto the cross so that you could have eternal life. So Jesus says to us today, let's go fishing. Amen.